Deseret News religion reporter Maya Jaradat was with us just a few weeks ago, sharing disturbing impressions from the Faith and Freedom Coalition's gathering in Florida. Her latest article headlined, "These Christian Lawmakers Are Trying to Restore a More Godly Nation," delves into actual office holders who see America as nothing less than a theocracy, with themselves as the high priests of a government that would be anathema to the founding fathers of this nation, and for that matter, for Americans. Maya, thank you for being with us again.
Thanks for having me.
As I read your article, I remembered what journalist Jeff Charlotte told me on this program well before January 6, 2021. He said, "This is no longer the fringe. This is the Republican mainstream." The truth of that statement permeates your latest Deseret article, just like it permeated the CPAC gathering last weekend. Looking at both, I see a perfect storm of theocrats and authoritarians committed to neutering our democracy itself. Do you think that I'm being overstating when I say that?
Well, I don't know about overstating, but what I find really fascinating, I was thinking about it this morning, what I find fascinating about this organization and the structure they're building, and it's funny you use the word storm, because you could think about this organization as a kind of very large ship, or at least that's what they're attempting to construct, right? Mm-hmm. By linking up lawmakers across the nation, conservative Christian lawmakers, to be precise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Across the nation. And I feel like something that's fascinating about the National Association of Christian Lawmakers to me is that in creating this structure, it kind of almost sets them outside the bounds of all this Trump, no Trump, you know, DeSantis drama, and create something that's almost more enduring and that could weather some political storms in a way that, you know, when you go to a conference like Faith and Freedom Coalition or CPAC, I mean, so much of it is just this kind of empty rhetoric. There's no real talk about policy or solutions. You know, there's nothing of real substance at these meetings, in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But something like the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, I mean, they're trying to make a coordinated effort, you know, to create a united national front to push through legislation. Like, they've got their nose to the grindstone, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it almost makes it impervious to some of the waves of politics. And like, they've got their eyes set on the real prize, you know, for them, which is pushing through conservative legislation that will actually make an impact on the daily lives of Americans, whether they're of faith or not.
What you say makes sense, and from my perspective, makes me more fearful.
I mean, I reckon that, you know, it's a more, I mean, in my mind, it's a more potent strategy, you know? I mean, they're flying beneath the radar to some extent of some of this media coverage. I mean, the organization is almost a year old, and I broke the story about them. So, you know, and these are not just, you know, nobody, you know, small-time politicians. Like, Dennis Baxley is a member, you know? We've got the Arkansas senator who pushed through the 2013 legislation around the heartbeat, you know, one of the first heartbeat bans.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some pretty big, you know, names involved. And I feel like that staying kind of below the radar, doing the work, you know, while other Republicans are on the stage slinging mud at each other, I mean, is actually kind of a brilliant strategy if you think about it.
I wish you would talk a little bit more about the characters that you write about and how they're organizing themselves. Who are the political religious right characters that you're talking about?
Well, we have Jason Rapert. He is the founder and the president, and Arkansas state senator. And, you know, he talks about his initial decision to run as something that he prayed on, you know, and got a divine answer. So his whole, you know, candidacy and political career has been fueled by the sense of the divine, you know, mm-hmm. being a part of his work, of his mission. There's Janet Holton, who's the big anti-abortion activist in Ohio, and she's also part of the national board. I mean, there's many different names. Mm-hmm. There's Vicky Strong, who is she feels like an embattled Christian lawmaker in Vermont. She points out that she's one of the very few Christian conservative politicians in Vermont, and she feels that this is a way for her to forge ties with Christian legislators in other states that, you know, can help her feel supported when she's out there alone in Vermont. Mm-hmm. So there's that aspect as well that Christian lawmakers want to, you know, build ties with each other so they feel supported when they're taking legislation that might be contentious, you know, into their state legislators.
Mm-hmm. Have some politicians thirsty for power found a way to get some, or are these true believers fighting for the causes they deeply believe in?
I reckon it's a bit of both, but I really think, honestly, it's more of the latter. I really feel like these people are really keen to push forward certain pieces of legislation, you know, certain laws that reflect their idea of what faith should look like. I mean, these people feel that faith, their version of Christianity, and I emphasize that it's their version because, mm-hmm. you know, when I've spoken to other Christians who are a bit more progressive and I've said, oh, these are Christian lawmakers, they correct me and they go, no, they're conservative Christian lawmakers, mm-hmm. which is a really important sure. distinction, I think, to make. Yeah. But they are indeed, I mean, they have a vision of what it means to be a Christian in America and what, how that should impact the public square. And the lives of people who are not even Christians, you know, which I think is something that, you know, that's a point that could easily be interrogated. That, mm-hmm. you know, if I personally, I'm Jewish, and mm-hmm. You know, if I as a Jewish person living in America, as an American Jew, I mean, should I have to live under Christian laws? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. And They talk a lot about that the founding fathers intended this to be a Christian nation, mm-hmm. but if you actually go back to a lot of the texts they refer to, you know, there is talk about God, of course, but I don't see any talk about any particular religion. No. Now, they are also using this language of Judeo-Christian, and I think that term needs to be interrogated as well, this kind of easy-breezy lumping together of Jewish and Christian. I mean, they're distinct. Theologically, they're distinct. Some of the values that emerge from the two religions are quite distinct as well. So, I mean, that needs to be unpacked. Also, they're voicing a lot of support for Israel, and Israel is my kind of area of specialty, and that's the place I don't mind speaking about, including my personal opinion. And, you know, something that is deeply uncomfortable for me and disturbing is what conservative Christian Americans often think, you know, is support of Israel versus the reality of how many Jewish Americans see it right. and how many Israelis themselves see it. So, I mean, they're also supporting this, let's be specific and say a right-wing mm-hmm. agenda regarding Israel that, in my opinion, actually runs counter to Israel's best interests, you know.
Mm-hmm. The 2016 presidential election win seemed to galvanize this movement. The 2020 presidential election loss seems to have helped them even more. Is mm-hmm. this an unstoppable rising wave? Because honestly, I don't see activists defending the Constitution. Secularism, pluralism, inclusivity, tolerance, and democracy itself with anywhere near the fervor that right-wing characters relentlessly display.
I think you hit on a really important point that, like, 2020 has not taken the wind out of anyone's sails. In fact, I think it's kind of caused them to double down. And in fact, I mean, this organization was created ahead of the election, but I mean, they haven't disbanded in the wake of the election. And in fact, they're convening this weekend their first conference, you know, to vote on model legislation, you know, that they will then probably try to roll out in other states. So I think that, you know, 2016, you know, definitely signaled to the conservative Christian right that, like, oh, they have some momentum, and 2020 has only galvanized them. And I think, again, that one of the most fascinating parts of this story is that they are building a very kind of organized and concrete, you know, structure with this group. And that was one of their, I mean, they told me that that was one of their intentions when they met for the first time last year. I mean, they very intentionally made this kind of structure, you know, with the president and then state chairs to help things run more smoothly and more efficiently so they can really get things done, and, you know, which is sharing legislation across state lines. So, you know, a bill that passes in Texas, and specifically that the heartbeat bill is the big thing that they're buzzing about right now. You know, if a bill is successful in Texas, then they can try, you know, to push it through in another state, things like this. And, you know, it's not going to be just abortion. It's not going to be just the heartbeat bill. There will be other bills. And I think that this coordinated effort, you know, to pass the language of bills across state lines, you know, so it can kind of, they can push through, you know, on state fronts is really important and shouldn't be ignored.
Let me just interject here how profoundly I resent yet another ideological mob claiming for their cult-like collection of beliefs the broad and inclusive label of Christian. What's on the horizon as you see it?
Well, I'm not entirely sure, and that's what I'm waiting to see, because their meeting, their meeting kicks off today and concludes Sunday. So Friday and Saturday, they're going to be talking about exactly that. What's on the horizon for them, legislation-wise, policy-wise. I did speak with Rappert earlier this week, and he didn't really give me any hints. but we do have a phone call scheduled for Monday morning, so he can kind of debrief me on the conference.
Maya, how does this bunch dovetail with the earlier work of Project Blitz, which was dumping templated culture war legislation through the transoms of Republican-ruled state houses coast to coast?
Well, I reckon it takes up the baton, but just makes it a bit more structured, perhaps, and a bit more enduring. Again, I think that this structure of a president and state chairs, you know, and convening as a conference on an annual basis, you know, will make, you know, Project Blitz, it will make it like almost a continual Project Blitz, right? And it sets up the framework for this to be a more lasting, coordinated effort, you know, that could be taking place on an annual basis.
Let's talk about CPAC. What stood out for you at this gathering of leading right-wing figures?
You know, I was interested in the lineup and who wasn't there, right? So I see that Trump was there and DeSantis was not, and I find that fascinating. At the same time, I was really interested that, you know, DeSantis came out ahead in that straw poll that did not include Trump. So he came out strong in the straw poll that included Trump. But then when they eliminated Trump, like, he came out, he like easily, you know, went to the front of the pack as the possible leader for 2024. So that's one of the things that I found really, really interesting. And it was something that I picked up on at Faith and Freedom. There was no straw poll, but DeSantis was on everyone's mind, you know, that if Trump doesn't run, they love DeSantis. So I thought that was interesting. And again, you know, I've been thinking about the National Association of Christian Lawmakers in respect to CPAC, and that's the thing. I mean, CPAC, you know, I was watching some of the speeches. It feels like a lot of the same stuff I heard at Faith and Freedom Coalition, like Marxism is bad, Democrats are socialists and Marxists. Again, it's that kind of empty rhetoric that's intended to whip up the audience, but doesn't really offer any solutions or policies.
Were there many religious voices in Dallas?
There were, but I feel like, you know, it's nothing distinct from what we've seen at Faith and Freedom, you know, and elsewhere.
What else do you want people to be watching for as we head into the traditionally less political summer months?
That's a really good question. I think just, you know, how groups like the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, how these groups are kind of quietly maybe coalescing, and what they're looking ahead at, you know, might be an important thing for the rest of us to keep our eyes on as well.
Maya Jaradat is religion reporter at Deseret News and the author of the book, The Unchosen, The Lives of Israel's New Others. We'll link to her article, These Christian Lawmakers Are Trying to Restore a More Godly Nation. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Okay, thanks for having me.